Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Hello, everybody. This is Denise Bryson, and we are on Facebook Live as well as on our broadcast as well. So this is the Blog Talk Radio broadcast, and we're doing our Prospering Souls broadcast, which is our foundational teaching, and we're just so happy to join you on again today. We're finishing up this topic about, is your mouth causing you to lose? And so we're going to keep talking about that and going through some things concerning that particular topic. And so we've been talking about it for some time, and but we just kind of started doing Facebook Live, so we're just now getting on that. And so we tried to catch you up on last couple of weeks ago. But we're winding it up, and I think we're going to do a wrap-up of the first four topics of this relationship series. We're going to do a kind of a recap on that on next week, and I'm going to try to finish this up this week so we can move on to some other topics that we have coming up. Anyway, I'm going to start today off with a quick prayer, and then we will begin to dive into this topic about, is your mouth causing you to lose? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace, and we thank you, Lord, for being just who you are to us. We thank you, Lord, for being our creator and being our sustainer and being our provider and our peace and just all the things that you are, God. We thank you for being sovereign, and we thank you, Lord, for being omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient, Lord. We thank you. Lord, we ask you today, Lord, to bless the word to fall on good ground. Lord, that those that hear it may run with it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we know that at any time we are planting or either watering, but we know that you will give the increase, oh God. So as we go forward, in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I thank the Lord, waiting on my other ministers, elders, to get on the phone. But nevertheless, I'm going to go on. We have been talking about what is causing us to lose. And I'm going to turn this phone around so we can kind of do better with the microphone there. What is causing us to lose, and so what is our mouth doing? Because it is about what we say. We can't think that that we can just say anything, and we're speaking, when we say that, we're speaking it into the atmosphere. And so we have to understand that when we do that, that we are speaking things over our life. So what better person to talk about today than Job? And, of course, I always talk about them Israelites because, to me, they are a prime example about what you say can hurt you. And if they just could have shut their mouths when they were going through the wilderness, they might have got to the promised land instead of that generation having to die before, and then a total new generation went over into the promised land. And so that's the one thing we're trying to avoid in our lives. We don't want to die in the wilderness. We don't want the blessing of the Lord to be stopped in our life, but we want God's blessings we want to be able to receive what God has for us. And sometimes what we're saying is what's causing us not to reap the benefits of what God has promised us, because we have to understand, and just like it said in Proverbs 18, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so we want to speak life and not death over our situations. And so these are some of the things that we have to be mindful of when we're talking, and when we allow the enemy to speak into our ear, and then we voice that out of our mouth. We got to make sure that we don't voice out what is unnecessary, but that we voice out what God says about our situation and not so much what we say about our situation. So when I was reading in Job, this weekend, and I read Job 1, the first chapter, 20th and 22nd verse. Of course, if you're familiar with the story of Job, and for those that are not, I'll just do a little recap of it. So Job was an upright man. That's how the Bible explains him. And it talked about Job and how that Satan was coming in with the sons of God, and how God asked him, he said, "Well, have you considered my servant Job in the situation, Job?" And so God, and Satan was like, "Well, you got a hedge around him, you got all this stuff going on, we can't touch Job, this, that." And so then God allowed, some things God will allow to happen, and some things God sends. And so we have to understand that, and that when we are going through trial and tribulation, it is not designed to kill us. That's not what it's designed to do, but it is designed to help us reach that next level that God has for us. We cry and we talk about, I want God's purpose to be in my life, and I want to be used for God. God, kind of things, and yet we forget that when we say that I want to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified in me for your use, God. Lord, use me in your service. And we do all those things, and we mean well when we do it, because we really do want God to use us in his service. We really want to be fulfilling the purpose of God in our life. We want that, but that does not come without trial and tribulation. You know, Jesus didn't get to be King of Kings without first going to the cross. We got to understand that. Even like David, when David was anointed king, he was anointed king three times before he actually sat in that place. And so how would we act if God had anointed us to do something, and then it took all years and years and years off our life before we actually was able to actually do what God had said do? And so we got to understand that with these things we're asked for, it comes tribulation. When you get saved, things come, things happen. And the one thing, and this blessed me so, and this, I'm going to go back to Job in just a minute, but let me say this real quick. I thought about Jesus, and when he talked about, and it was first, I think it's John, the 16th chapter and the 33rd verse, where Jesus was talking about, you know, he gave us this assurance, and he told us about these things, that things were going to happen. We were going to have trial and tribulation. But what we have to understand is that it's for our making. He is doing this. It's helping us to build patience and experience and hope and all of these things. And so we go through these things for a purpose, because if we don't have no test, how are we going to preach to somebody else? If you've never been through nothing, who wants to hear you? I remember, and I'm going to get back to my text because I can go on. But anyway, I remember one time I was ministering at the hospital, and I'm talking to these people that have addictive behaviors, and you know, it might be some type of mental disorders or something like that, but most of them have the addictive behaviors. And so, like, drugs, alcohol, and things like that. And so I'm just going on, and I got my lesson together, and I'm getting up, and I'm talking to them about, and there was one man, he was sitting there looking at me like, really? And he asked me a question. He said, well, what have you been addicted to? This is what he said. And so I had to think real quick, because he wasn't receiving nothing I had to say, because, you know, a lot of times people think, you know, preachers come and they preach to us, and they haven't been through anything, but they want to tell us how to get out of something when you've never even been through what I've been through. You haven't struggled with or what I struggled with. And no, I hadn't been on drugs, and no, I hadn't been on alcohol. So I had to think in my mind what in the world, because I said, my little weed testimony ain't even worth telling people that have been on hard drugs. You know what I'm saying? I smoked a little weed. I thought I was silly. You know, I was silly and laughing and carrying on. I thought to myself, well, I'm that without the weed, so I don't need smoking. You know what I'm saying? So that was my testimony about that. So I don't tell that no more, because I know they'd be sitting there looking at me like, really? But anyway, I had to tell them something. I said, Lord, what is? So I was going in my mind real quick, because I had to answer it. And I said, well, I've been addicted to food. I said, that's something that I struggle with. I struggle with food. And I begin to talk about that journey that I've had, you know, with food, and how sometimes I tell myself I'm going to the grocery store, and I tell myself, oh, I'm not going to get this. I'm not going to eat this. I'm going to stop eating this. And then I find myself in that aisle, then put it in the basket, and sometimes I get the victory and sometimes I don't. Now, sometimes I used to tell them at the hospital, I'll say, if y'all see some potato chips and some veggie chips and some sugar-free cookies and stuff up by the register, I might have been through that line. Because I try to get the victory. I tell myself I'm not going to do it, but then you find yourself doing these types of things. And so I begin to talk about that struggle. And after I begin to talk about that, he received everything I had to say. So sometimes you have to identify with people when you're talking to them about something. You just can't come talking to them at some higher level and think they ought to receive what you're saying. That's not how it is. When people know that you have struggled with something, they can really get with you and receive what you're saying. So that was one of the things that I learned about, you know, about being in ministry, is that you have to begin to, really testify. Sometimes you got to be transparent. I'm not saying you got to be transparent about everything, but sometimes you need to be transparent if you want people to receive and really be blessed by what you're saying. And so anyway, I was talking about this scripture blessed me, and it's John 16:33, and I'm going to read it to you. I'll read it in both versions, the King James and the Amplified Classic, because the Amplified Classic was such a blessing. But in the King James Version, it says, It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. It said, in him, in Jesus, you might have peace. This is what he's saying. He said, but in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world. And then in the Amplified Classic Version, it says, I have told you these things, so that in me you might have perfect peace and confidence. But in the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world, and I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. That's what Jesus has already done for us. Now, that was powerful. That Amplified Classic Version really blessed me, because it said that he said, I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of the power to harm you and to have conquered it for you. So sometimes we got to understand, yeah, we're going through tribulation. We might be having some tests and trials, but if we concentrate on that one thing right there, he said, in me, in Christ, you shall have peace. So therefore, when you're going through stuff, you don't have to be saying all this crazy stuff. Now, I'm saying this because I have been cheap in this situation, believe me. I don't mind telling my stuff, because I tell you, when I really started going through this test and trial that I've been going through financially and stuff like that, because I'm a bottom line person and I'm an accountant. I've been an accountant by profession. And so, you know, we got to get to the bottom line, and it must come out zero. We can't have $5 million out of balance. We can't do that. We can't, you know, and in some cases, they won't even allow them. Some places will allow you to have a threshold, maybe 10% or 5%. But other than that, you need to come to the bottom line. And so when I'm analytical by nature, so when I can't see that bottom line, that disturbs me. And I'm just being honest about it. And so a lot of times I'm almost $60,000 in deficit to what I was making to what I'm bringing home now. And when your budget is still over there at this other higher level, when you're sitting there thinking to yourself, oh, my God, and I'm calculating on it, clicking it, and it's not coming out. But anyway, so I have had to learn and am learning to trust in God. And so with that, I've had to watch what I say, because when we're going through stuff, we get frustrated. So let me go back to Job, because this is the reason why I'm bringing all that up. Job was, you know, when Job first started going through the situation, and they would come to tell him that his kids were gone, and they would come to tell him that this was going down, and his animals were gone, everything had been taken from Job. The one thing Job said, and I'm going to read 1:20-22, it says, then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And then it said, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And I think I read somewhere where it said that Job did not sin with his lips. And so what came out of his mouth, now that was his initial response to things. And as he went along, because he had them Job's friends that came along and kept talking all this stuff to him, because even when his wife came to him and told him, you could curse God and die, he didn't do it. And so, but when the friends kept trying to accuse him of being in sin and being in this and this, all this stuff they were saying to him, and I have had some Job's friends, believe me. And so I've had to shut my mouth, because I'm one of them quick responders. You know, you say something, I can come up with something quick. But I've had to literally shut my mouth and be praying. Just take what people are saying about it. Take what people are saying and actually just kind of, you know, go to God about it, so that I will not offend with my mouth. Because I can be quick-tempered and quick-tongued. I know that about myself. And so with that being said, God has told me sometimes, you better not say it. I hear feel the Holy Ghost tell me, don't, you better not say nothing. Don't you say nothing, just shut your mouth. And I've had to shut my mouth, and that's easier said than done, saints. I'm telling you, that's easier said than done when people really say crazy stuff to you. But you got to learn how to say that. Because like I was talking about last week when I was talking about the tongue, you know, the bitterness, the slandering, the, you know, all of those different types, the gossiping tongue, the judgmental tongue, and I got about a list of 50 of them. And I was telling you, sometimes those things are coming out of some crazy places. They're coming out of unforgiveness. They're coming out of pride. They're coming out of being judgmental. And so we speak these kind of things out of our mouth because we're coming out of these places. We're coming out of rejected places. And so we speak these death sentences over people's lives or even over our own lives when we need to speak life. If we would just say what the Word of God has to say about our situation, I'm telling you, we would really begin to win in the battle of taming his tongue. Because the Bible already clearly told us the tongue no man can tame. But by the Holy Ghost, we can do it. It can be done. And so that's the thing we have to rely on is the Holy Ghost. So when the Holy Ghost speaks to me and tells me to shut my mouth, Denise shuts her mouth. But sometimes I had to think about what Job was doing at some point. We begin to charge God. We begin to say, well, God, I don't know why. Why are you letting this happen to me? This is unfair. Don't you know I did this, and I've done this, and I did this, and Lord, I've tried to serve you, and I've done all this. You know, we get all this emotion involved in it. And so we begin to just say all kind of stuff. And we be talking to God like he's not sovereign, like he don't already know what's happening, like he's not already in control. And I had to keep telling myself, God is in control. This is what you do know about this, Denise. God is in control. And so you have to continue to keep saying these things to yourself so that you will not charge God foolishly. I mean, when they came and got that car, I said, Lord, now I don't understand this, because I wasn't trying to get no new car. All I owed was $1,600 worth of interest because I was in that chapter 13 situation. That's all I owed. And I said, and I didn't have it at times because I wasn't working. And they came and got that little car. I was so devastated about it because I wasn't trying to get no new car. I wanted to keep that one and pay it so that I wouldn't have no car payment. This was my reasoning. But anyway, God had a different testimony for me to come out with. And so I was telling you on last week how I kept that brand new car, and I didn't have no money to pay for it either. I don't know how that happened, but it happened. But the Lord blessed me. But anyway, I don't want to say keep talking about that. But what I want to tell her, what I want to encourage you with, though you might be going through tribulation, though you might be going through all kinds of tests and trials, it is for your making. It is for God to bless you. So be careful about what you say about your situation. Get the Word of God on it. I say all the time, yeah, the doctors might have said it. Yeah, they might have gave you this verdict. This is what they might have said. But the Word of God is the truth. And it said, by his stripes, you are healed. Now, this doesn't mean you shouldn't take the medication. That's not what I'm saying. Because you need to, I always think about this, occupy until it comes. Occupy until you see the manifestation of God over your life. But say what God has to say about the situation. Don't be drawn into the emotion of it and begin to speak doubt and fear like the Israelites did. Now, the Israelites, God had brought them out with a high hand. They had gold and jewelry and all this stuff. And yet and still, they were still longing for the leeks and onions of back in Egypt because of what they were going through did not look like what they had at one point in time. Sometimes we got to cut the past off. Yeah, that might have been what he was giving us for feeding us at that time. He might have been giving us manna. He might have been giving us quail. But now it's time for us to get it on our own, and he's going to help us to do that. With his guidance and with his help and with the ordering of his steps for our life, we can have what the promises of God say for us and not have what we keep spooling out. You know, like people would tell me, oh, Denise, you should do this about this. You should do this about this. And I thought to myself, no, I ain't doing none of that. I'm going to get my fight back because I know whose I am, and I know who is fighting the battle for me. Bishop said this morning, let God do it, and you stop trying to, don't say, God be with me. Let God go before you. So let God go before you. So I wanted to go back. Let me go back to Job. Wait a minute, before I do that, does anybody on the line have anything they want to say? Because, you know, I can keep going, running my mouth, but I want my other ministers and elders to say something. Does anybody have anything they want to say?
Sounds good, Elder.
Okay, Elder Russell, thank the Lord. So I just really want us to get this, to know that we have to be careful about what we say. Because it was funny that I was going through a situation. I'm not telling testimonies, I guess. But anyway, I had been bit by one of those brown recluse spiders. And so I didn't know it at the time because I didn't know what had happened at the time, actually. And, you know, we think Neosporin going to heal everything. So we get us some Neosporin, start putting on stuff, and we don't even know what it is. But anyway, it kept getting worse and it kept getting worse. And I had to go to the hospital. So I went to the hospital, took myself to the hospital. And so they said, well, it's a spider bite. And so they prescribed me some stuff, but that thing kept getting worse. And all of a sudden, it was really infected. It was green, and then my leg was swollen, and I was in a whole lot of pain. And this went on for about 5 or 6 months. it was 6 months to be exact, when I actually came to a place where I was healed from that situation. So I was going through that situation, and I kept complaining about the pain and kept complaining about the pain. And I was in so much pain, and I would have to go, and they would scrape off the dead part and all that. And I don't want to sound gross, but they were doing all that, which was causing me more pain. I would have to take Tylenol to get to work. Then I had to take that regular pain medicine, the real pain medicine, when I got to work. Then I'm not even a coffee drinker, but I had to start drinking coffee so I could stay awake at work. So all that stuff was going on. And so while that was going on, somebody said to me, they said, Denise, ask the Lord, what is the purpose for the pain? And I said, well, okay. So I began to pray. It was my prayer time. I said, Lord, what is the purpose for this pain? And anyway, but the pain kept getting worse and worse and worse. And so I'm telling you, I would be up all night walking up and down the hall, up and down the hallway here in my house. I would be walking up and down and just praying and praying. And I would have taken all the pain medicine and everything, but it was just excruciating pain. And it was so infected and all that stuff. And I was on like two different antibiotics. I'd done that like twice. They had me on all these antibiotics, and all this stuff was going on. And I was like, Lord have mercy. I had to stop working where I was working, the part-time job I had. I had to stop working there because I couldn't, my leg was so slow and stuff, I couldn't do that. And then at the other job, I kept falling asleep. I was throwing papers at the meetings, throwing papers on the grass because I was over there asleep. All this stuff was going on. And I was like, Lord, these people going to let me go, because I said, and I was on a contract position. I said, oh, my God. But nevertheless, I asked the Lord, I kept asking about the pain. Every time I went to the doctor, I said, the pain is just so much pain. So, you know, the doctor, she said, well, you know, she had one of those looks on her face. She said, well, you know, it could be that, you know, if you didn't have any pain, we'd have to cut that leg off. That's what she told me. I'm telling you, I walked out of there limping. I'm like, oh, Lord, I thank you for the pain. I thank you for the pain. My whole testimony changed. My whole thought about it changed, because if it wasn't for the pain, it meant it was dead. And so I want to encourage somebody today. You might be going through suffering through some things, and you might be having some pain in your life. But if you can feel the pain, that means you're not dead. And that means God can still scrape the dead stuff off of what's going on in your life and begin to heal it. The pain was a sign of the healing. That's what was going on. To go to that doctor, they had to go to the wound clinic, and they were scraping that stuff off of me, and then I'd be in worse pain than I was when I got there. And even though they were trying to deaden it, it didn't deaden, and I was in worse pain, the pain was a sign of my healing. Because every time they got the good tissue, it was bringing out the infected tissue out, and then therefore they got to scrape it off, just like when you try it in the fire. And you try it in the fire, and they scrape the impurities off, and they're trying to get it to pure gold. When God is trying to get us to that place of pure gold, we got to watch what we say about ourselves. Let him scrape off the dead stuff. Let him scrape off the stuff that's impure, and let him begin to heal you in the process. Yeah, it might not feel good. You might not like it. It might not look like what you think it ought to look like, but stop saying the wrong thing over your life. I tell people all the time, stop saying the wrong thing over your children. Stop saying the wrong thing about your situation. Get in the scripture. Find what the word of God has to say about your life and your situation, your circumstance, your test and trial, and begin to speak that over your life, so that when you are speaking what God has to say about it. Not out of a place of bitterness, not out of a place of unforgiveness, not out of a place of pride, not out of a place of judgment, but you are speaking what God has to say about it. I'm telling you, your life is going to change if you just hear what I'm saying. Stop speaking the wrong thing. It does have to do with what you say. If you want to come out of your situation and start speaking where you want to go, and stop speaking where you've been. Stop talking about where you've been or even where you are right, and speak where you want to go. They used to tell us all the time when we were, you know, we needed better finance. They said, well, pay tithes on where you want to go. Increase it so that you can get where you want to go. So we got to remember that. If we want to change in our life, speaking where we want to go and not where we've been. And hopefully you want to go higher and you want to go to that place that you've been praying God for. Lord, use me for your service. Let me be a vessel unto honor, sanctified in me for your use. Lord, use me in the kingdom. Lord, you know, when you're praying all that if you want that, it's going to come with tribulation. It's going to come with test and trial. But if you understand that those things are working for your good, because it says all things work together for the good of them that love God, that are called according to his purpose, you will understand that though it might be painful, the pain is a sign of your healing. The pain is a sign of you going up higher. Anybody got anything they want to say?
Sound like
okay.
What I'm saying. Shut.
Go ahead, Elder.
I was going to say, it sounds like what I was saying, short-term pain is long-term gain.
Yes, yes. That is exactly what it is. Long-term, that is exactly what it is. And like the Bible says, this light affliction is just for a moment. It's just for a moment. Our moment seems long sometimes, because I'm quite sure when Job was going through his situation, that moment seemed long sometimes. But we got to understand, like I said in the earlier broadcast, I said stop speaking about your mountain and speak to the mountain. When Jesus told us to speak to the mountain, he didn't tell us to speak about it. He didn't tell us, oh, this is going on, this is going on. He said speak to the mountain and it will be removed. That's what he said. So remember to start speaking the word of God to your situation. So then those are the things that first saw that was begin as you begin to read that word about your situation, your heart will change. Because it says out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if we begin to put good things in our heart, then that way good things will start coming out of our mouth, and then therefore we will begin to see the manifestation of God's promises in our life. Does anybody else on the line have anything they want to say? Okay, I'm going to keep going. So, you know, I do the broadcast and Facebook Live at the same time, so in case Facebook is wondering, what is she doing? I have a broadcast, too, and the people that are on the broadcast sometimes comment or they speak to, you know, speak about what the topic is as well. And so I talked about Job, but, you know, as Job went along, you know, he kind of changed some things, so he began to question God. And he began, because his friends kept talking to him, talking about, Job, you need to repent for sin, and you need to do this, you need to do this, and you need to do this. And so in their judgmental faith, you know, they begin to talk to Job, and so eventually Job began to question God. And sometimes we do that too, but we got to understand we serve a sovereign God. Nothing going on in your life does he not know about. He is in control of the situation. It might not seem like he's in control of, you might not feel like he's still his presence, but he is there. I always say, make this reference to the book of Esther, because in the book of Esther, we really don't hear the name of God mentioned, but we see God working all in the situation. That's how it is, might be in your situation right now. You might not feel God's presence. You might can't even trace him. But I'm telling you, you got to trust him. You have got to put your trust in him, because that's the only way out. That's why it said in Proverbs, what is it, 3, the 3rd chapter, 4th, 5th, and 6th verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. But it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I'm telling you, it may not feel good to you. Your trial you're going through may not feel good to you. But I'm telling you, God has, Jesus already said, in him you can have peace. If you get in him, you can have peace in this situation. And then it said, don't be of good cheer, because he has already overcome the world. He's already done it. He's already overcome it for you, and he has made you a conqueror. He conquered the world for you, and if you're in him, then guess what that means? Then nay, like the Bible tells us, nay, in all things, you are more than a conqueror. You are a conqueror. Let your mouth speak as a conqueror. Let your mouth speak as a conqueror. That's what you got to do. I want us to change our thought pattern, our mind, about what's going on and what we're doing, because this is the thing that we need to do in order to be all that God has purposed for us to do. Thank God for all those that are coming on the line. I thank God for each and every one of you. And so does anybody have anything to say about what I've said thus far?
Elder Denise Bryson, this is Sister Eddie Jean.
Welcome,
I just want you to know.
You're at the main menu. For our one-on-one introductions, press 1. Get to the party rooms by pressing 2. Match and...
Okay, I'm sorry. I clicked that in, but that was somebody else. Sorry, Edgy, go on. I'm so sorry.
I just wanted to let you know that, Denise, you're speaking to me today because, you know, as you know, I am a chronic migraine sufferer, and I have one today. But the message that you were sending, because I was listening to you at first on the website, and then I was like, Lord, she's speaking so well, I got to get on this phone and let her know that she spoke to me about the pain that, you know, it's only but for a moment, your light affliction. And that's one of my scriptures, Denise, that I've always, I have to speak to myself because I've dealt with this for 15 years. So you speak it into my life today, and the fact that he uses your pain to get you to the next level. And I was told that before, so I just want to say that you keep doing what you're doing because you blessed me today. I bless God for you today.
Oh, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for that beautiful testimony. We're thankful for that. I tell you, when I was going through that situation, it was something. And I'm telling you, when you by yourself in that place by yourself, you're thinking, oh, my God, is this going to ever lift? But I'm telling you, I just had to keep going through it. And when I used to go in there and they would scrape that stuff off my leg, and I'm telling you, they'd be talking about, well, you can't take that medicine and drive with it. I said, well, ooh, Lord, I said, I got to try to make it to work. But anyway, I just endured it. And I'm telling you, it was so painful. But when that doctor told me that day, I thought, oh, my God, I got so much joy. I tell you, I didn't say nothing else about that pain. I just kept on thanking the Lord for it. Because God is doing for us and what he's trying to do. But thank God for your testimony, Edgie. That's such a blessing. And I thank God for that.
I thank God for you.
I'm going to bring, I hope that I can see. I can't see it either. Okay. Well, I'm trying to pull this say Facebook Live. I haven't got it first, but anyway, we're going to keep on going. Okay. So I just wanted to keep talking about that and talking about, I also wanted to talk about Israel, because, you know, I always talk about them, because they was doing a lot, and so I like to bring them up in this situation. If they would have just been careful about what they were saying. They had over 14 complaints that they complained to God about, and if they could have just been quiet, if you've been quiet about that situation, then they would have got to their blessing instead of all of them having to die out in the wilderness. Now, the one thing Job exampled, and the reason why I was bringing that up is because Job had this example. After he had done so much murmuring and complaining to God and asking God why, he wasn't really murmuring and complaining, but he was questioning God. And as he kept questioning God, the one thing that Job, eventually when God began to respond, and God asked Job, where was you when I created the world? Where was you when I did this? Where was you when I did this? And so Job had to be quiet. And so when God finally asked Job a question, and Job had the opportunity to respond, Job got quiet. Because he realized that his questioning God was actually sinning. And he began to understand that, you know, we're talking about God. And I've been cheap at this. That's what I'm saying. That's why I can talk about it, because I have been one. I'm telling you, as I've been going through this and investing in this, I've been going on all these job interviews, and I don't understand why I can't get no job, Lord. I don't understand it. And I kept saying that and kept saying that and kept saying that. And so I kept saying that. And, Lord, what are you doing? I don't understand. I mean, I just kept going through that emotion. It was emotional. And I kept going through that. But when I finally decided to say, just to trust him, now I can say, I tell you, one of the elders, I don't know if Elder Timberlake is on this phone or not, but she asked me every week, she said, what did God do for you today? What did he do for you this week? And I'll be thinking, okay, what? And then I would come. I said, well, God did so-and-so. I'd be so excited. So I'm excited today to tell you, because I got a testimony today on Timberlake about something God did for me this week. And so I'm going to tell you about it, because I get excited when I have to think of that and tell him. But what she called me to do was begin to thank God more and praise God more and stop complaining about what I didn't have and start being joyful about the things that he was doing. Because I was doing my taxes this week. And I usually filed a self-employment, and so it's usually a little higher, filing and all of that. And I kept getting on this TurboTax, this tax freedom, this freedom site. And I'm thinking, why am I on this? What is going on? I done called the people about four or five times. I done deleted them twice and put them back in. I keep getting on it. Well, the girl finally told me, she said, well, your taxes is going to be free to file and free to e-file. I said, Lord, thank you. Because I didn't, you never know. I count that as a blessing. I count it joy when God, it might be little to somebody, but it has been great to me. And I've learned how to be more thankful. I've learned how to praise God more. And I've learned to worship him more instead of murmuring and complaining. I'm turning that into praise. I'm turning that into directed speaking over my life. Instead of saying this about it, I'm saying, oh, I thank God. I started thanking God for every door that was shut, because what God has done is taken me to a place of purpose. Now I feel like I might not be making a whole bunch of money where I'm at, but I tell you this, I can't wait to go tomorrow. It's funny. I got excited about going every day because I thank God for what opportunity I'm getting to minister to somebody, and maybe something I'll say or do might be a blessing to somebody. Might not be right now, but maybe years down the line. I always tell them children, I say, now what I'm telling you, you might not think about it right now. But I said, but later on in life, you're gonna remember what Miss Bryson done said. And so I'm hoping that the seed that I'm getting to plant will manifest in their lives, and their lives will be better because of what God is doing, not because of who I am, because ain't got nothing to do with that, but what God is doing through us. If we would focus on that and be happy of what God is going to accomplish through our lives, we could go through things so much better. We would be excited about the things we're going through. Does anybody else have anything they want to say?
Well, Denise, anybody? You know my mouth is big, and I always got something to say. But I just want to piggyback on what you were saying about when we go through things, and sometimes, and when you hit the most important word, purpose. God does everything in our lives for a purpose. But when we align ourselves in His Spirit, we will know that we're not just going through just for happenstance. There is a plan. God always has a plan. Everybody know Jeremiah 29:11. You know the plans I have for you. You know you always got that expected end out of everything that we go through. And you said another thing, that when we are going through and when things don't appear or seem the way we want them to, it is an opportunity for you to give God the praise, because, you know, He said He inhabits our praise. And not only that, you know, why are we murmuring and complaining? He woke us up. He gave us a roof over our head. He gave us food to eat. We could be in a very destitute situation, but we don't realize how blessed we are. And I have learned through this illness that I have temporarily, because I know God is healing me. I don't have a miracle healing, but He's healing me. It is a processual thing. At the end of this suffering, God is going to manifest my total healing, and that is what I have placed my faith in. And my husband just spoke a word, because I didn't attend church this morning because of the headache. He said that our pastor spoke on that when you go through, that is opportune time to worship God and bring yourself out of where you are into another dimension in Christ. So your suffering does bring you into another dimension if you allow yourself to worship God and to get yourself out of where you are. Don't give the power to the situation, but give your power to the Lord through the praise that He has put in us to worship Him, so we can go through and not keep our minds focused on the situation, but put our mind on Him. So He has taught me that, if He has not taught me anything else through this illness of mine. There are times when I cannot even put my head off a pillow, and I can't even speak. But one thing I can tell God, I'm still praising You. I still have my praise. And I've learned to worship Sister Elder Bryson, as you say, when we're going through things, that is the opportune time to bless God and to acknowledge Him and to worship Him, because it takes your mind off of what you're going through and it puts it in another dimension. So that is one thing that we as saints of God, and our lives will not be without tests and trials. He told us that if we go through, that we got a crown of life. You know, this is our purpose. This is part of our salvation plan. We were not saved just to be have a bed of roses. But as He suffered, He said, after you have suffered a while, you know, we got to suffer before He starts giving us tit, 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 tit. We have to get that suffering, because the trying of our faith, it works patient. You know, when we're going through, He's teaching us patience. You know, and I have learned to ask the Lord, as David always would say before he would go into battle. He said, Lord, shall I pursue? So I would ask the Lord, I said, Lord, what would You have me to do as I'm going through? You know, because like Denise, you just said, that when God places you someplace, it's not just for no reason at all. He's got you there for that purpose. Like you said, you could be planting a seed into somebody's life that they would need down the road, and it would manifest itself. So if we just learn to allow God to have his place in our lives and say, Lord, okay, I know this is a, it looks like it's a bad situation going on in my life right now, but what is the in it that you want me to see and that you want me to develop myself so that you can use me in this situation? So I just want you to know, girl, you feed my soul today, and I bless God for it. So every time I can get on these Sundays, I will be on this podcast with you, girl. And God bless you and everybody that's with you.
Yeah. I can't wait for her. You talking about a powerhouse? This one right here, Ed Jean, a powerhouse. We all grew up together in the church, and I'm telling you, she's a blessing and a mighty woman of God. And I cannot wait for her to get the opportunity to be on here teaching. And I'm excited about that. And I'm so thankful for your testimony. Does anybody else have anything they want to say today?
You know, I'd like to say that, you know, pain comes in many type of ways. And sometimes when God is answering a prayer, he's not going to answer the prayer the way you want him to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to know by the Spirit that God is answering it. I was in a situation on my job, you know, where I had made a suggestion, and they gave the suggestion idea to another person, you know. And so, you know, in my spirit, I didn't really like that. I didn't say anything about it because I could see God working some things for me because this had been going on for a while. But for some reason, I went to talk to another nurse about the situation. I said, well, you know, that idea came from me. And I said, and this person went ahead and just did it without committing. But when I got through talking about it, I left, but that week I had something nagging on me, and it's like, don't abort the plan that God has for you. Just be quiet. Sometimes you may hurt in a situation, but let God finish what he's doing. He knows more about it than you. And it came to me that I should have just shut my mouth and not said a word, let it go. So I'm learning that sometimes our tongue can be the worst, can work against us. Sometimes it's just to be quiet. When you see God working, just be quiet and let him work it, and just let him work it. Because if you don't, that trial is going to be missing, because you got to learn as you go through it. You're going to go backwards and forth and backwards and forth. So I'm learning, as we all should be, to be discernful, to avoid the torment of the mind or the worry. You know, because peace, there's nothing that takes the place of a peaceful mind. And if you can totally release that situation to God, then do it and let it stay until he's finished with it.
Amen.
Man.
Amen. And when she was talking, I said, Lord, it's just like I think about Israel. If they would have just went through. They were blessed. They came out of Egypt with a high hand. I mean, they were blessed. They had bought everything. They had all the gold, the jewelry, the money. They had everything. And yet and still, because it didn't look like what they were just like they said, 11 days from their blessing and 11 day journey, and they took them 40 years, and then they didn't most make it. Only two went over to the promised land out of that original group. And so when you think about that, we ought to learn from that right there, because if we would just shut our mouth sometimes, and like Ed Jean was saying, just start worshiping and praising God, change what we're doing, change the way we think about things. Mm-hmm. You know, Elder Timberlake taught a wonderful series on about the renewing of the renewed mind. And so it was such a blessing. Our mind got to renew, our heart got to be changed. And then our mouths will start doing something different, speaking something different. We have got to make sure that we begin to say what God says about it and not so much what we think about it or how we feel about it, but God says about it. And then always continue to speak to your mountain and not about the mountain. Speak to it. Every time you say something about it, then speak to it so that it can be removed like Christ told us it would be if we speak to it. So those are the things we got to do. Be careful about what we say. Watch what we say. And then, you know, try to do what Job did in the very beginning. Just don't sin against God. You know, don't charge him foolishly. Stop being frustrated with God. And let me say this when I talk about that, because, you know, when you think about, I think about, and this was my thought pattern at the time. God is my protection. He is the overseer of my life. He is in control. So automatically, sometimes when things start going wrong, we want to go to God. Like, well, God, why are you doing this? I don't understand. I don't understand what you're doing. Well, why are you letting this happen to me? Throwing fits and throwing. I said, Lord, I was throwing more spoiled brat fits than I could count. And I thought, oh my God, if I don't get this straight, because so all I was doing was throwing fits and repenting. Throwing fits and repenting, because I knew I was wrong. I knew I was dead wrong about what I was saying and doing. But I had to keep repenting and keep repenting and keep repenting, because one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to go to hell. Now, I'm telling you that. I'm going to repent, and I'm forgiveness, and I'm going to forgive, because I don't want to be hellbound, not one day. And so I had to begin to change the way I was thinking about it. And what's funny about it, the Lord had me start doing this series, so I had to start studying and doing things, and as I begin to study and do things, I begin to make the changes necessary. And then, like I said, we have some good saints that know God, and they begin to tell you. Now, she would ask me, what did God do for you today? And I'd be like, okay. And I'd have to think about it, but it caused me to begin to make changes. And I've been saved since I was a little girl. But it's amazing how we begin to take God for granted in those situations, because we just, church all our life, and so we think that these things, when the disciples were, Isaiah was sawn asunder, and then we think about the disciples, one of them, Peter, was hung upside down on the cross, and they was beheaded, and all of these things were happening. So we might not be having those types of things going on, but the things that we are going through, that is what we're going through for the sake of Christ. And so if we continue to go through the things that we're going through, our testimony will be even greater. And like I tell them at their hospital when I go, I said, this is just a part of your success story. This is a part of your success story. You might be on the bus, listen to somebody's conversation behind you, and be able to turn around and say, look here, let me tell you how to get through this, because this is what I've been through. And you might be able to bless somebody. And like I tell them all the time, yeah, you've been through some horrific things, because some horrific things have happened to people. And so that's what's causing them to be in places that they're in. And so then their conversations are not good, or they don't want to live anymore, and all these things is going on. And some of that, I'm not discounting it in any way, because what people have been through. What I'm trying to say, if you want to come out of it, if you want to be free, you got to do it God's way. And you got to begin, first of all, to be forgiving. You got to forgive. You got to do that. And then you have to begin to not speak out of those cursed places that you're in, and begin to speak what God says about it. And then eventually, I always believe that the word of God will begin to manifest so inside of you, and the Holy Ghost will begin to help you, that you will begin to be, you will be able to be what you're speaking instead of what you, because that one girl told me that, she said, well, I'm going to say I forgive him, but I'm going to say it pissed off. God will manifest it in you as you continue to talk and as you continue to confess forgiveness. I believe God will manifest forgiveness in your heart. So these are the things I want to say, and our time is going down. So I always want to make sure that we extend an invitation to those that may not be saved, that may not know Christ in the pardon, and may not know him in the pardon of your sins, but you want to know you want to know Jesus. And this is an opportunity. Now, we don't have no church you go to. You're going to have to find you a Bible-believing church so that you can continue to get the word of God and you can continue to be fed. We encourage you to do that. And so, if Elder Russell, would you pray the prayer for salvation today, please? Thank you.
Yes. Father, we thank you for the message that has gone forth today. We praise you, Father. Your word does not go out void, Lord. And for those that are in the audience that have heard the word today, and their heart, O God, have felt compelled, O God, to live for you, Father. O God, all they have to do is accept you as their Savior. Believe that you died on the cross for them and was raised again. Oh God, and therefore begin to learn of his word and spread his word. All you have to do, if you make a mistake, is ask God to forgive you, for He is a merciful God. Don't just forget about it when you make a mistake. Get up and ask God to forgive you. Stand His word that you get strength, that you get strength today. This world soon to pass away. Let's reflect on eternal life, the place that God has a plan for each one of us. If you today decide to accept Christ as your Savior, the angels in heaven rejoice, even as one comes unto Him. So I encourage you this day that you turn your life over to God, ask Him to forgive you your sins, and know that He died for you, that He'll never leave you, and He'll never forsake you. Who can be fine like that? And those of you in the audience that can say, yes, I accept Him as my Savior. You're now part of the family of Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
And we give you the praise and the glory to each one of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen, amen. We thank God for all of you all that accepted Christ today. We thank God for that. And like I said, we said go find you a Bible-believing church, teaching church, where you can attend and you can continue to be fed the word of God, and God will bless you and cause you to be strengthened and to grow. And God will do that for you if you get in there. You have to find somebody to feed. The Bible tells us that faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we need the word of God if we want it on the inside of us so that we can begin to do the things that God has for us to do, and we can begin to walk this walk with Him. He will be with you every step of the way. He said He'll never forsake us or leave us alone, and He's not done that. I'm a witness to that. He's never forsaken me. And He's never left me alone. And I had somebody remind me one day. They said they were talking to somebody. And they were talking. They said, "Well, is she gonna be all right?" He said, "The Lord always takes care of her." And when they said that to me, I had to think about that. I said, "Thank you, Lord, for always being there for me and always taking care of me." And so we have to remember those things and speak from those places of gratitude and let our attitudes be better. I'm so thankful for everybody that logged in today and all those that called in and all those that joined us on Facebook Live. We're so thankful for each and every one of you today. We'll be back here next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast on Facebook Live. So I'm just going to – Timberlake, are you on the line?
Yes.
Would you do our final prayer? Yeah, and we will be back here next week. God bless each and every one of you.
Father God, we thank you for what our ears have heard and our hearts are yet rejoicing. We thank you, Lord, that we should take this and we should apply it and we should practice it. God, we thank you, God, for loving us enough to let us hear the truth. And God, let us begin to speak those things that are not, call those things forth that the enemy want to keep hidden from us. Let us speak the words that gives life as we continue to grow and as we continue to learn how to be disciplined. Our tongues today, God, that we may represent you in all that we do and say. For your glory, we thank you for a blessed week. We thank you for blessing everybody on the line, everybody on Facebook Live. We just ask God, whatever their needs are, that you meet that need wherever they are. God, touch him, make her set free, and deliver. And God, we give you the glory, and we give you the praise, and we thank you for new beginnings today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Yeah. God, amen. Amen. Thank you all. We'll see you back here next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast and Facebook. May God bless you, and may His light shine.